Well, I can't change the weather particularly, but I just decide it'll be okay. So, you know, I just, whatever it is, I wake up and that's what it is, you know. And reading the newspaper, I used to always read the newspaper, and I stopped reading the newspaper. We get a local paper. We live in Pinehurst, and we get the Pilot, which comes out 3 times a week, which is one of the few newspapers that's just basically happy news, very little controversy, or and I just kind of glance through it primarily for the sports, because my children, my daughters are both athletes, and I look to see if they've written anything about their particular teams in the paper or whatever. But other than that, I watch very little TV. And I'm a lot happier.
Well, this is Tom. We got rid of our TV in September.
Wow.
And I'm the one who went through the withdrawal. My son was over it within a couple days. He'd forgotten about it. So, yeah, that's... I still confess that we throw in a DVD on a computer and watch, you know, a movie that way. But it's not like the evening news at 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. and what's happening there. It's I don't miss that, that's for sure. I mean, the Olympics, I think I miss a little bit. But I saw a very funny thing on... oh, gosh, maybe it was The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, just a clip. It was someone that had a clip of it on the Internet. And during the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, what they had done is they took the snippets of all the comments that were being made as different countries were coming in. And as the different countries are coming in, the commentator was, I don't know if he knows it or knew it or not, but... he kept on bringing up these terrible things about, you know, that were things that were going on in their country, and it was comical. You know, he did it as a synopsis of all these terrible things that he was saying, news flashes, because he's a newsman, you know. But he was working, I guess, as the as one of the TV announcers at the time. So it's funny how it even works its way into that. You know, I'm sure that it's in his consciousness all the time, that even during the openings of the Olympics, that he can't help himself. So, well, there is in this levels of consciousness, I thought I'd share something that a friend of mine taught me, which was that there are these four levels of consciousness model, and the lowest level, if there is such a thing, is the to me level of consciousness, and then the next level is by me, the third level is through me, and then the fourth level is as me. And you can kind of, you know, in this chapter, he just, it seems to me, is talking about the to me level of consciousness. That's the person who's, you know, in the victim state or mm-hmm. victim mentality, and everything's happening to them. They're out of control. And then the next level up, which is what I was taught growing up, was, you know, if it is to be, it's up to me type of thing, which is work real hard to make things happen. And that's the by me. And then through me, you know, the distinction between through me and as me is subtle and profound, but that the idea is that working through spirit or the universe, and then as the universe, seeing no separation between, you know, what Joe talks about, that all things are possible. So I don't know, does that resonate with anybody?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. But the majority of the world is in the to me. It's in victim negative, the which is normal, because just the nature of the Earth being a gravity-based planet, which is a negative energy, is would naturally be negative.
And this is the part where, you know, it seems like every teacher that I'm aware of is that it's the making the shift out of to me is the what's required is being 100% responsible. So for everything that's going on around you. And that was someone just joined the call. By the way, I meant to tell everybody that I thought that I was recording and I wasn't, and I realized 5 minutes ago that I wasn't recording, so now we're recording again. This is call number two. We're talking about chapters or steps one and two in the attractor factor. Who is it that just joined us? Sounded like someone out there joined us. So how about we move on to step two, which is dare something worthy. And gosh, there's a lot in here. I mean, he talks on page 63. He's got the Joe talks about the example of Floyd Patterson, the victory over myself, and then Peace Pilgrim on page 64, and Kent Cummins on page 67, who had the sandwich shop, which I love that story, which is the he was going to advertise free beans, but the advertisement never went out.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was awesome.
But I'll tell you, personally, the most important, and you just skipped right over it, the most valid point in this entire chapter is what do you want?
Yes.
And most of us know what we don't want, and then we're like, it says, I don't want this headache. It becomes, I want a clear head. I don't want this backache. It becomes, I want a strong back. But a lot of times when we turn it around, it still creates a focus on what we don't want. The key to really getting what you want is being able to turn it around in such a way that it really focuses on what you truly want instead of still focusing on what you don't want.
I think what one thing you're getting at that's a big trap for me, or has been a trap, is I focus on what I want, but I focus more on the lack of the fact that it hasn't come yet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's always the universe's time, not our time.
Yeah.
So.
You know, Tom, I'm going to interject something here that you just did it, is that not only is what you focus on important, but it's how you word things and say things. And what you just said is about being trapped. Well, not only are you focusing on your lack, but you're substantiating it by saying that you're trapped. So therefore,
yes.
Reinforces
mm-hmm.
that focus.
Interesting.
Well, because the your mind does not differentiate between. You can say that you're looking at something positive, and that's what I'm saying. The wording is the most important thing in how you phrase and how you set your intention. And it has to be with absolute belief and completely letting go. And that's the example of the sandwich shop was that he just, you know, he thought he in his mind he ran this radio ad and that, you know, that the people were all going to come flying in asking for all this. So in his mind he saw that, he attached feeling to it, and he just let it go like it was true, and it came to, you know, played out exactly as he saw it, even though the ad never ran.
Right.
It's the power, it's not only the intention, but it's the belief and the feeling attached to it and the letting go.
Well, and I think that he also acted as if, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's attaching the feeling and letting go.
Right.
That's already it's already complete in your mind.
Having the faith that is in fact going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
That's the hardest part, because people want to manipulate it and they want guarantees and they're looking for constant reassurance that yes, it is going to come. And the more that they do that, the more it pushes away.
Yeah. So the he talks about on these lessons of intention
mm-hmm.
on page 72, starts on page 72, and number one is intention rules, and then on page 73, break the model,
mm-hmm.
then go for something other than money. You can do this.
That's very important.
Yeah.
One of the things that you have to remember about money is the tool, and money is meant to flow you, come through you. So if you just want money, it's less likely that that's going to come to you. But if you want money for a specific thing, like he wanted the money for that car, so the universe will find a way to allow you to get what you desire and allow the money to be attracted to you and through you to get what you desire, but you have a better chance of getting it because if it's attached to a specific thing. Like if you just want, you know, I want to make $100,000 this year, well, if you don't have a real reason why you desire that money and what you're going to do and a plan for what you're going to do with that money, the universe is less likely to fulfill your wish.
I'm curious as to what folks on the call think about the idea of adding value, the link between generating financial abundance and adding value. You know, it's like Joe, each time in each of these examples, figured out a way to add value to other people.
Well, that, yes, absolutely. That's part of having what you're going to do with the money. You know, is that the universe, everything has to be multiplied in and has to, whatever comes through you, you have to give out to the world. So everything that you do in increasing your abundance means you're increasing what you're giving out to the universe. The more you give out, the more you're going to get. It creates, you know, just an upward spiral.
Yeah. Ken, how do you see that?
Adding value?
Yeah, I mean the link between financial abundance and the do you see it as a can you get to the financial abundance piece without adding value? In other words, like because he said, you know, like going over to Las Vegas.
Right. Well, taking a step back from the question, I find that Joe looks more, or I think he gives people more opportunities to take action. When compared to other authors on this type of content, that some authors would have you sit in a room and focus your mind and don't give you much to think about to do after you've done that. Whereas Joe, because he has such a strong marketing background, he really gets in there and gives you some suggestions about what to do next.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting thing to notice.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I think... Well, it's the piece about adding value to the world is, you know, I think about that part a lot.
Seed money? Would you put that concept in the same context?
Say that again.
Seed money. That there's, it's a word some people throw out when they talk about.
You said seed.
Seed.
Oh, seed money.
Planting seed. Seed? Yes.
Okay, I was missing the S there. I was
thinking. No,
okay, yeah, seed money, yeah, but that's a different concept. Basically, what Joe has done, Joe is very well read, and he owns a great many of the classic books that teach all the same principles. What he's just done is repackage the same material in a format that's easier to understand. These are the same principles of Think and Grow Rich, of... trying to think, As a Man Thinketh, The Game of Life, any of the Florence Scovel Shinn books, Dr. Joseph Murphy's The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. They all present the same information. Joe has just taken him the Abraham Hicks materials. There's an earlier book, one that was written in the late 90s, Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting, by Linda Grabhorn.
Right.
They all cover the same material as Joe's. Joe being a marketing person and having found a way, you know, having used the things that he's created and found what works, has been able to put it in a more easily digestible format for the masses.
Well, how about we move on and take a look at the I guess one of the things that really interests me is the which starts on page 74. He talks about, you know, having lots of excuses and whatnot, but
mm-hmm.
The on page 78, this question of for what purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, of the sort of the unconscious, unacknowledged need for something, and how Joe talked about the desire to have his books, you know, become bestsellers or sell a certain number and make a certain amount of money, and why mm-hmm. was that, and to explore what's really driving this whole topic of goals. Al, you haven't been talking much. Do you have any insights on this one?
I'm just listening to what everybody's saying. I will go back and probably ties into what you just brought up. Critical is probably an understatement of having value for the reason you desire the money or why you're required to have money. And tying into what you're talking about right now is the best possible value that you can have for money is to serve others.
Yeah.
And when you tie those two in together, the spirit, the universe, God, whatever you want to call, will guide you and support you to have that end result, whatever that may be. So when you go back to value, it's vitally important that you have value to some extent. That's not to say that you will not be able to accomplish earning or receiving or however you want to put it, amounts of money, but it becomes more plausible when you add value to it or a purpose behind it. And I think the number one reason or purpose to that there is for value is to serve others.
Yeah, there's no question is the link between adding value and with the consciousness of I'm trying to figure out a way to be in service to others. And that's something that I've been trying to say, okay, to asking myself, how can I play a bigger game? How can I help more people and add more value? And so I think about that on a daily basis.
Do you want to know by tomorrow morning?
Yes.
There's three things. One is you've already figured out one part of it. Well, part of it is to serve others. Okay, that's part of your purpose. The second part of your purpose is to figure out what your gifts, talents, and strengths are, because that's what you're going to use to serve others. That's why you're here. That's why you're unique. That's why you're the person who you are, because you have talents, strengths, and talents that nobody else has, and they are unique to yourself, and that nobody else has them, and that's what you're going to do to serve others. Now, and only you know what they are, you and God, actually. The third thing is, and now this is between you and God, just figure out what's been recycling in your life, throughout your life, over and over and over again, and you will see a pattern of things that continuously happen throughout your life in different forms. And that will tell you, or you could talk to God tonight and ask him, meditate or pray, and he'll say, look, you know, what is it? Okay, I know I'm supposed to use my gifts, talents, and strengths. I know I'm supposed to serve others. In what capacity? What am I going to do? And reflect back on your life, and you'll see it. You'll see it. It repeated itself. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but it repeats itself. It started when you were a toddler. It just keeps repeating itself, and you will see it. You'll see it. And it'll come very natural to you.
Well, I think that the on this topic of adding value and being in service, I had the opportunity to interview Mark Victor Hansen right before Christmas, and one of the things that he was emphasizing in the interview, we were talking about his book, The Millionaire Code.
Was that Cracking the Millionaire
Cracking
Code.
The Millionaire Code, yes.
Excellent book.
And the big message he said he wanted to get across was that, you know, to find what it is, the great gifts and talents that you have, and make sure that you're in service to other people. Essentially, give them away.
That's exactly what Al just said.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Joe says on page 81. So what do you want? What would make your heart sing? What would make you dance in the streets?
Right.
What would make you smile right now thinking about it? What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? What do you want if you could have anything? And the other thing is, you got to stop thinking. You think too much, Tom. You think way too much.
There's no question about that.
Life is not about thinking. You know, unfortunately, it's really not. It's 80% feeling and trusting your intuition and acting on the impulses that the universe delivers in the form of intuition, and maybe 20% thinking about it. But the more you think about things, the more it prevents you from doing and taking action.
Absolutely.
And the more you think about things, the more you complicate things that are really simple. And the more fear is involved in thinking. Because you what if yourself to death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and from what I gathered from last week's conversation, and the things that you do for a living, you have the greatest opportunity of any of us because you already have a huge audience. And you already have gifts and talents you've been using for years to touch people, but you've been doing it in a pre-assigned, coded fashion that's safe and predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Life is not safe and predictable. Life is about putting yourself out there and trusting the universe to put you in the right direction. And I think, and I feel that you've known for a long time what the direction is, but you don't see yourself in that position because it's outside of who you think you are or who you've programmed yourself to be. Does that make sense to you?
What you said makes sense to me, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's something that you have thought about or felt about that's something that you would really like to be able to, when you're delivering these seminars and things that you do, there's a nagging thing in the back of your head that you would rather be presenting.
Yeah, well, it's definitely the combination of or the infusing of these principles that are found in this book.
That's right.
Yeah. There's no question there.
So, step out and try it. You can incorporate it without offending. That's what Joe's done. He's incorporated these same principles that have been around for years and years and years in a way that's acceptable. And you can take the same thing and incorporate them in your life and in what you do, and you can touch more people and change more lives and open up the light from the darkness in an amazing fashion. And that's you have a gift of being able to command attention and people listen to you because you have a proven track record. So you have the opportunity, you have the desire and passion about what you're thinking. You just got to stop thinking and start doing.
Well, gosh, I feel as though it's turned into the spotlight's on me.
No, I'm sorry. It's just that it's just you're so close and you're standing behind a screen. You are so close and you're analyzing all the purpose of this thing is basically to help each person who decides to step out and join this group to work through these steps. Is that? Would you agree?
Oh,
that was your intention?
My intention, yes.
Was also your intention to help you work through these steps?
It's there's no question there. I think that the best way to, I've always believed that the best way to learn something, really learn something, is to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, not that I'm attempting to teach anything here, but
no.
I thought, okay, this is a great opportunity for me to learn something at a deeper level and host it. So, you're right. And I'm moving in that direction. It's been slower than I initially thought and have been, as you said, thinking at a thinking through the ramifications of how all this is going to play out, and, rather than focusing on the feeling of it.
That's the whole thing, and that's where the trust and the faith comes in, and the letting go, which is, you know, when we get to steps 4 and 5, that's really where the key to making things happen. Because once you're clear on your desire, there is no right or wrong. That's what you have to understand. There is no right or wrong. If there's a truth within you that is your passion that you need to share, and the universe gives you that passion and that need to share. So when you have that and you're following that intuition or that passion, there you don't need to second guess yourself. The universe will guide you. It'll provide the right words. Once you start trusting that where the source of it is coming from, and you step outside yourself, see, what you're battling is with ego. You're battling is how they're going to respond to me, and that's what most people battle. You got to let go of the ego, the mind, and trust the heart and soul, and trust the universe.
Well, this is the by me level of consciousness.
Right. And so if you can at least get up to the through me, which is that's where the universe has been knocking on your door for quite a while now, going, phew, you know, you're a really good vehicle. We could use you. We got some information we want to share. Just could you just like move your ego out of the way and let us go through you?
Right.
You know, and let us share through you. And that's all it is. When you step aside and start to realize that it's not about you, it's not on you, it's allowing yourself to be a vehicle for the universe to spread its word.
This is Meredith. I have a question.
Yes, Meredith.
I've heard a couple of times people talk about how Joe is such a good advertiser, and he's a good businessman.
I'm going to turn that beeper off.
It's really loud.
Yeah, it is.
Do you feel that the success of his career, and especially the Attractor Factor book, if that is due mostly to his use of the Attractor Factor principle and, you know, in wanting to help others, or do you think it has more to do with his exceptional skills?
I believe that book is spirit guided.
I do too.
But I also believe it.
New participant, tone up.
His writing skills contributed to his success. But I strongly believe that book is spirit guided.
I agree with Al. And one of the reasons I feel so is that spirit recognized that Joe was open enough to be able to accept the information and allow it to come through him using his incredible marketing techniques, because it was a way to touch more people. This book is way more powerful than Joe had any idea.
Mm-hmm.
It is much more powerful, and that's one of the reasons to know surely that it is actually spirit-driven rather than something that he just created to make money.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very powerful. It's touched so many people. I've recommended it to everybody I know, and they read it and reread it and go through the steps and try to, you know, and that's a bad word. I hate that word, try, but for some people it does take trying before accepting and doing.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith, I'm curious what drove your question, I mean, your interest there.
Well, if it was mainly due to using the principles, then it makes it easier to believe that everybody can have the same kind of success in their own lives in the different areas. But, you know, it's so easy to say, oh, well, this person's just really, really talented, or this person is really, really skilled from years and years of practice. And so, I don't know.
In other words, are you coming from the place of, you know, it's easy for him to do it, but it may not be so easy for me to do it?
Yeah, it's It makes me a lot more confident if I know that his success comes from using these principles, because this is something that I can learn to do.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to speak about myself personally. I'm living proof. I did 3 30-day meditations in a row last year, and they all came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the book, my life has totally changed and accelerated beyond my wildest dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in all areas and all levels of my life.
Well, you know, what I think is interesting about this, Tom, about Meredith, about your question, is that a friend of mine who I had said, "Oh, you got to read this book." He's a professional speaker. He speaks to elementary, middle, and high school kids. He's awesome at it. And he said, "Tom, what's up with this book? It's like there's a whole 40 pages on essentially justifying." You know, it's actually called, I'm flipping back to my book here, it's called The Proof. It starts on page 7. It's just like story after story. And he said, you know, I didn't need all that. But, you know, I think that there is a need for that. You know, that just to believe that, God, you know, it is possible. Because then, if it is possible, then, you know, what does that mean for me?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to say this, Christina. One of the things that you have to realize with Joe is that, you know, there was a point in his life he was homeless. He was a cab driver. He's had a lot of odd jobs. But he was always a student of the laws of attraction and the power of his subconscious mind. And he studied until those things clicked for him. And once he learned how to attract the things he wanted, and you know, and get bolder. That's one of the things. The more you learn to use it, and the more you do use it, the easier it becomes, and the more things you attract on a regular basis, to the point where you can think of something, and you know, it can show up that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so he's writing from experience. He's writing from, you know, saying, you know, I've figured this out, and I've been using these things, and I've attracted all this success. I've attracted, you know, ideas. You attract everything, opportunity, people, ideas, you know, abundance in every way that you can imagine. And that is, you know, clearly what it says in the Bible, and the laws of the universe, is that we were meant to live here in a life of abundance.
One of the other things I think, Meredith, this is Tom, is that I'm reminded of a conference I went to that was led by Tony Robbins. I don't know if you know Anthony Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually a small conference. It's not uncommon for him to have, you know, several thousand people at some of these events. And this one had a couple hundred. And I don't know, it was maybe 7 years or 8 years ago. And I remember him talking about being 19 or 20, and he got this gig where he went and a contract with the United States Army, you know, to reduce the training time, the certification for handgun marksmanship from whatever it was. I think it was 4 days, and he got it down to 2 days and increased the number of people who passed it. Right, which was, they didn't believe it could be done because the program was so old and so refined that they thought no one could do it. Well, you know, when he got the contract, he did it with another guy who was actually had been in the military, you know, and so he convinced the military that he sold them on the program, but Tony wouldn't have done it had he known that this other guy, as it turns out, bailed out on him. Didn't show up. And so here was this really young guy, lanky guy, who has never fired a gun in his life, who's going to work with the best of the best in the Army in how to improve their marksmanship program. And these guys, you know, and so he met with these guys. But what he did, I'll never forget, the reason I bring the story up is because what he was saying was, is that he uses the same principles that he teaches, but the big difference is he keeps putting himself in these situations, and maybe he uses the word gym, you know, that he stays in the game, mm-hmm. as opposed to doing what a lot of people do, is read it in the book, close it up, put it on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge difference there. I mean, it's between knowing it and then saying, okay, I'm going to really put this to the test. It's like tithing. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
a lot of people know about tithing, but how many people actually, you know, make it happen, really go for it? So, and I think that's the big difference that I see with anybody who's applying this material, is that there's you can read it, and then you can really say, okay, I'm going to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my.
Well, it's safer to read it and close the book and put it on the shelf and go, this is really interesting. You know, and
yeah.
I would really like to have, you know, an extra $1 million, and, you know, that would be really great. And then that's the end of it. But
right.
if you don't have a purpose for what you're doing and what you need, what you desire the money for, you know, it could be just, you know, that you want financial freedom. You want to be able to enjoy your family, enjoy your life. You know, I have a great desire to create a charitable trust. There are a number of organizations that I am very passionate about, and I would, you know, I give money now, but, you know, of course it's not enough to make any kind of a difference, although every dollar helps. But they all involve children, and it's something that I really, really desire with all my heart, to be able to make a difference in these, you know, several areas. And I've always felt since I was very young that, you know, I had a gift of being able to share information and channel information through me to help people.
Well, I'd like to, I mean, as we come closer to the top of the hour, I'd like to, there's only a handful of more things to talk about in this section, but he does talk about writing goals and the hungry ghosts
mm-hmm.
and the guided imagery, the beam of light. There's one, though, that I'm really interested in, and that is muscle testing. And I'm curious if anybody uses that on a regular basis. In particular, the version that is, you know, using your thumb and fingertip.
I don't use it regularly, but it works.
Yes, it definitely works.
It works.
Have you done the solo version?
Which one's that?
What he calls solo testing methods on page 94. Where you actually starts describing it on page 93. No, I'm sorry. Wait, 94
is the shoulder method.
Well, there's the one with a partner. Else? There's one with a partner, and then there's another one who talks about
that work.
Yeah. Ken, have you used that one at all?
I'm a little biased because as a kid, my mom brought me to a doctor that did it, and so I hold beliefs that I guess make me skeptical about that.
Well, I've seen it.
What happened at the doctor that made you skeptical?
Well, it's an interesting experience because it was something my mom was just trying. I was a difficult child. I had all kinds of health problems, and she was just willing to try new things, and I liked that about her. But I just grew up thinking that this doctor was kind of weird, and so when I heard about it later in life, I already had sort of some impressions formed about it. But most recently, within the last couple months, there's an author that's taken concepts. Somebody's going to know his name, but he's taken concepts and he's used muscle testing to assign values, like numerical values to
concepts. Well, that's not power versus force, is it?
Hawkins, that's who I'm thinking of. So I'm starting to kind of look at it more objectively.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting. I do, but I haven't really tried it.
One of the greatest applications I've seen is there's a gentleman who speaks to middle schoolers and high schoolers about the negative media and like video games and certain music and stuff. And he had some kids come up and he had some, you know, CDs and video games and stuff. And he had them hold the video, like hold it in one hand and hold it by their heart and hold their other arm out. And if it was a negative thing, their arm would get right down. Just to show them how, you know, even though they say they're not being affected by the things that they do and the images that they see, they are.
Right. Well, I've known people who use this, the thumb and pinky to, you know, even test, you know, they're going through the health food store and looking at, you know, different, you know, is this the food that I should buy? And actually, I know dowsers, you know, use pendulum dowsing, and it's the same type of thing as having a physical reaction, you know, the wisdom of the body type of thing. So I find that just really fascinating, the whole kinesiology piece.
Well, we are all energy, so if it's flowing in the right direction, we'll be coming from strength. If it's flowing in the wrong direction or in a haphazard direction because of negativity, then we'll be in weakness.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Power versus Force book by Dr. Hawkins has got this, with the map of consciousness. I'm guessing you, Christina, you've read that book?
No.
It's an awesome book, but I showed it to my web developer, and he read all the books, all three in the series, and loved them. And so when I talked to him, I said, I'm getting ready to launch this new version of my site, and I said, John, what I really want is a website that is rated at least 400 and above. And what was awesome about that is that he got it. You know, we shared that common language, you know, and looking at that. So I know someone who uses muscle testing to look at the, you know, the contents of a book. You know, where does it rate? You know, the whole body of the book and different sections of it, and just does a quick muscle test, but says, you know, is this above 400, above 500, above 600. See, if you get the map of consciousness or the that book, he's got this really amazing map in there, is what it's called, a grid. So, well,
I choose to just trust my intuition on things and how my heart feels about things.
And that's kind of what I believe, that if it's working for people, that it's probably tapping into, you know, their higher source of knowledge.
Well, it's tapping directly into spirit. If you're totally trusting that spirit's going to guide you, then you don't need to do all this other peripheral stuff like muscle testing and all this other stuff. You instinctively know it's good or bad, positive or negative. You feel it.
That sums it up. Yeah.
I think it reminds me when I go running, and occasionally I get more serious about it, and I'll wear a heart monitor so that I can run at a. I tend to run too fast, and I want to run at this, you know, like this slower, more
optimal. You're
going
to get in a zone.
Yeah, and what I realize is after like 2 weeks of using the heart monitor, I'm so in tune, you know, because if I run too fast, my heart beats too fast, and the little thing beeps at me, right? And so what I realize is that after 2 weeks of it, I don't even need the thing anymore because I remember what it feels like.
So that's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That all this thing is remembering what it feels like. When you get in that trust position and you start to remember what it feels like to be in that zone or whatever, whether it's with running or whether it's with your setting an intention and you know, just putting it out to the universe, saying that, you know, I have this desire and for this or whatever, and, you know, when that trust factor pulls in and that just knowing pulls in, it starts to flow, and that's what Al was talking about. Al's been, I've been working really closely with Al since about October, and the level of flow that he is in is just amazing.
Wow. It's the remembering part, I think, like you said, yeah.
No, it's trusting. It's trust, faith, and just, you know, it's like sense memory. Once you get in that, once you've experienced it and you remember it, your body, everything about you is sense memory. And when you trust that sense memory, it's like when you're running and you get in that groove where your mind steps up above it and your mind's no longer concerned with what your body's doing, it allows your mind to just free float. And that's this, it's, this is all the same thing.
Yeah.
When it takes you out of thinking. When we think about things and we're analyzing things and we're discussing things, we're not knowing, we're not being, we're not doing.
Yeah.
We're resisting.
That trusting is the hardest part.
Is that Meredith?
No, Meredith, watch what you say. Because you know
it's
what
not
just
the
said.
Hardest part. It's actually the easiest thing.
Right.
Or you could say, in the past, I have experienced.
When I read that part, it reminded me of whenever I was taking swimming lessons as a kid, and I was learning how to do what they call the dead man float.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I could relax, I would float on the top of the water. But as
That's
soon
right.
as I started thinking, oh, no, this isn't going to work, I'd start to sink. But the hardest part I found was, even though I knew, oh, if I just relax all my muscles, I'll float again, they didn't want to relax.
And but that's you. You're controlling that thinking. That's why thinking is not a good thing.
Well, that's a great example, though. I love that example.
Absolutely. It's perfect.
But so the trick is learning how to turn off the brain, because, I mean, it's not thinking is easier said than done.
Well, it's a step five. It's the letting go.
Yeah. Listen to your heart, not your ego.
Right. And the ego is just your conscious mind.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's instead of one way to think of it, Meredith, is to say, instead of thinking about turning something off, is, you know, because we get more of what we focus on. If you are focusing on turn that off, turn that off, turn that off, is probably that's where your focus and intention is going to be, rather than I choose to open up my heart and feel and experience this. That's where I choose to get my information. And to focus on turning on.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, you can't not do something, because if you're... Well, it's like trying to get rid of a bad habit. You can't not do the thing you don't want to do.
You replace it with
something.
Yes, you replace it with a new habit, a better habit, and just don't worry about the other one. You focus on what you want and the benefits of it and how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to attach your emotions, because you'll be coming from a much better place, a much stronger place, if you attach the emotions to the positive outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're at the top of the hour. How did that happen?
Very quickly.
Actually, the single best.
It did.
And, Tom, I have to congratulate you. Just on the last few minutes, the advice that you just gave Meredith,
mm-hmm.
was from a different place than you have spoken at the last two nights, tonight and last week.
I agree.
It was a total shift, and it's a start. You have everything that you need to move to where you want to be, and you just proved it in the last 5 minutes.
Well, thank you for the affirmation. That's why I'm here.
But you have made a breakthrough and a shift. a huge shift tonight.
Well, Tom. And we're only on step two.
Tom.
Yes, Al.
You want a nudge?
I want a what?
A nudge.
A nudge. Nudge me, baby.
When you go to bed tonight.
Yes.
Think about this question. What would bring you down to your knees with tears of joy? And that is your purpose.
That's a good question. A good thought. I'm going to do that.
You already know what it is.
All right, I'll have to report that on the in the list.
Hey, well, Al, what's your purpose?
What is my purpose?
Yeah.
Well, boy, where do I start? My number one thing.
The mission statement.
Well, go ahead and state it for us, please.
I don't know it off the top of my head.
Here we go. To enhance love and life by sharing our gifts and guiding others to the best and highest good of all.
Right.
Cool.
Well, I want to thank everybody for being here tonight, and I think next week we're just looking at step three, if memory serves me, because that's a long chapter. We did two steps tonight.
Right.
Because step one was so short. Yeah. So this step three is a pretty rich one. And in fact, I'm looking at it, it's pretty long too, isn't it?
Well, the length of it doesn't matter as much as
32 pages. Yeah. What I'll do is I'll send out this recording or post it, and then I'll look forward to seeing everybody here next week on Tuesday evening. And if I'm not, feel free to comment on the list to everybody about what we talked about and, you know, what you're getting out of the calls. Not that they need to be any bigger. Tonight was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And so next week we'll take a look at step three, the missing secret.
I think you might want to consider commenting us at least once or twice.
Me? Yes, I need to. And where do you see what I've been working on? I'll have to. Christina, could you send me an email? And I don't know that I have your email, do I?
I'm not sure.
You can send it to me offline, and maybe Al. I know that you and I were gonna perhaps talk, and I'll send you a link to this project I'm about to unveil. So, and it kind of plays into what you were talking about, Christina.
Okay.
About this this new level.
Mm-hmm.
So. Something exciting, something that makes me scared at the same time.
Don't be scared. You know what? One of the things that, since I've started The Attractive Factor, and I read it two times in a row in the very beginning, and I got immediately started attracting the things that I set my intention for, including Al, was one, you know, Al and the enterprise that we have together was part of that, but just the people and circumstances and the opportunities over the last 7 months or 8 months since the first time I read The Attractive Factor has been totally amazing. And that's one of the things why I feel like the book is so important, and I'm sure it's spirit-driven, because people are finding their purpose so quickly. And the financial rewards are not coming that soon, but they are poised to make major changes in the world, and that was the Spirit's intent with this book. And it's almost that the book deliberately chose Joe because he would be able to write what they needed.
Yeah.
And to get to the most people as quickly as possible. And that's why the book is so powerful. The steps are so powerful, and the information is so powerful. And next week when we get to step number three, I know it's about The Attractive Factor, but within the book that Al has written, it fits very nicely into step number three, because he has a line in his book or a part of his book that when you start to use this phrase, it really changes everything.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to being on the call with everybody next week.
Well, yeah. Excellent. I will go ahead and send you an email. I'll do it tomorrow.
Okay.
It's a little bit late on the East Coast tonight. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
You are so welcome.
Have a great night.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night.
See you guys next week.
Night.
See you guys next week.